Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, Episode 36. What's your story? Feedback.
Welcome to Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through, a fan podcast dedicated to Fear the Walking Dead on AMC. Join us each week as we discuss the characters, story developments, and theories of Fear the Walking Dead. Send in your thoughts about each episode by calling 304-837-2278 or by visiting our feedback page at goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback. And now, here's your hosts.
Hey, survivors, and welcome to another fine episode of Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And I'm Mark.
And we will be covering the feedback we've received for the season premiere of Fear the Walking Dead, which was titled What's Your Story? And we will also include some of the Survival Sunday feedback that we had. We talked a little bit about it during the Fear podcast, so which hasn't been released yet, but it will be out by the time you hear this one. So that episode, though, was written by Scott M. Gimple, Scott M. Gimple, Andrew Chambliss, and Ian B. Goldberg, and directed by John Polson. All right, so, hey, Kyle, we pretty much gave your all your stuff
on that, okay?
Because you know, you didn't show up.
I tried. I was hiding from
Walmart. All the way through it, you were sending me notes, and then around an hour in, I had to tell everybody that you weren't going to be able to join us.
Well, thanks for at least including me in Word.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we gave all of your feedback except for your rating. So since we're going into listener ratings, we should start it off with your rating.
Well, my rating was 8.9 John Dory's Werther's Original Streets.
All right. Well, let's start with the listener ratings. Mark, why don't you start it off?
My co-host from panel, Steve Brown, says 7.5 out of 10 unexpected crossover characters. And he says he'll explain in his notes.
Claire Redderer, who Mark certainly knows because they did a guest host show together before he was the co-host, she says, I'll give this episode 8 Werther's Hard Candies. Obviously, great minds think alike, wouldn't you say, Kyle?
Yep. <Yeah. laughs> Best candy ever. All right. PB and Zane, she says, I'm going to rate this 7 out of 10 Dories. Like the fish, but with an IE, not a Y.
Mark DeCote, overall good episode, but it didn't feel like Fear the Walking Dead to me until the very end. I give it 7. What's your story?
Probably it didn't feel like it till the end until we saw characters from it.
Like, oh my God, is that they're feral?
And that's worth saying, Mark, I'm not used to you reading your feedback. What gives, man? I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I don't expect you to send in audio feedback. You're kind of busy right now. You've got Tales from the Rocinante, a podcast on The Expanse. So. And that's on Solo Talk Media. So I just wanted to give you a plug. Tilly, she says, 7 out of 10, clever, remember that thing from the time before references.
All right. Glennis Goltz gives it a 10 out of 10, Boeing Gunslinger Candy Cruncher. Swatting fun. This was just an all-around good watching of all kinds of awesomeness sauce.
Cheryl Fox says, 9 out of 10 people hate being alone.
And it's funny she brings that up because we've had references in these podcasts this week about us opening up a family of hot sauces.
So you got your angry sauce, your sad sauce.
And now it's time for the classic one. That's probably the closest Ruthie gets to the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah.
She kind of quit it when she quit doing the podcast. Okay, so Steve from Panels and Pixels, he says, Maggie Grace, wow. I liked her in Lost and the Taken movies. Here she is really good. The SWAT truck was cool. I enjoyed seeing Morgan kick some butt. They gave those of us who have not been watching Fear a chance to meet the new characters before bringing in someone from the earlier seasons. Yeah, and I think that was the beauty of it, that it really, you really didn't need to have watched the first three seasons of this to appreciate this episode.
No, I totally agree. I mean, at first I was kind of like, no, I want to see, you know, what happened, or like, you know, the old crew and just like in that story. But after I rewatched it again, I was really, really done well. I enjoyed it.
It was, you know, and it's funny. I'll just mention it because you gave your weak sauce. And that was that the characters didn't show up until the end. And Kristen's was that they showed up at all.
You just wanted a new story with new characters.
Yeah. Scrap them.
It was funny. It was an opportunity missed last night. So
I know I wanted to be there.
We wanted you there, but you know, yeah. it's all good.
It happens. All right. Well, yeah. I'm here. All right. Well, Glennis Coates says, awesome sauce. One is, I like the passage of time shown with Morgan in the dump with his visitors of Jesus, Carol, and Rick, and then on the road with the leaves finally dropping. Then the big white expanse of Texas, all dry and glaring sun. And number two, Garrett Dillahunt makes an awesome cowboy and loves Morgan's and Dory's and later's Athea's exchanges. Number three, how the three times of Morgan, Dory, Athea got out of their situation caused by the bad guys was great entertainment. And four, wow, that SWAT truck with all the trimmings and a big smiley face.
Yeah, that SWAT truck is pretty badass. Although we did have some questions about that one, right, Mark?
Oh yeah, I'm just curious of the mechanics and how to shoot and
aiming. Shoot
yeah, and somehow kill thing. Shots all the way around.
I thought of the thing when it first popped open. The first thing I thought or came into mind was like in Aliens and the Gatling guns that had like the motion trackers. I was like, is it something like that, or she was like controlling it? Or
I suggested last night that there were Eugene. You know, heat-seeking bullets or something.
I refer to Dawn of the Dead with the remake where they made those trucks and they were using a chainsaw.
Like with the little. Yeah.
Anyway, it's cool. It's just incredibly accurate.
Yeah. That's fine. Just like a headshot, everybody can get it. It's fine.
Except for Rick when it comes to Negan.
Or, yeah. All right.
So Cheryl Fox says, I thought it was interesting that Morgan went to the trash dump at the end of the episode and delivered the message to Jadis /Anne. Robert Kirkman or Scott Gimple stated on The Talking Dead that her name had an E on the end of it, meaning for Anne. Anyway, at the beginning of Fear, Jesus, Carol, and Rick all came to him. Every time there was a knock, you could see how irritated Morgan was. Yeah, you saw that on his face. Like, oh, no, another person. Morgan had company. So when Rick told him he could run, but he couldn't hide, Morgan decided to run. When you want to be alone, but no one believes you. Run, Morgan, run.
Oh, that never gets old.
Nope. And how many times did we say that last night?
Oh, so many. You could have a run, Forrest, run, and just have somebody scream Morgan in the middle of it and a soundbite.
Yeah. That's awesome.
All right, now it's time for Weak Sauce.
You're worthless and weak.
Steve Brown says, before Morgan started kicking, he seemed to get jumped easily. As much as I love the SWAT truck, I don't think it will take too many of those attacks to run out of bullets. Yep.
Yeah, true.
All right. Glynis Goats, she says, don't really have any weak sauce since my score was 10-10. But I suppose if I was to gripe, it'd be to ask why in some of the scenes the color was so washed out to the extent of it being almost black and white. There could have been a little more color wash added.
You know, it's funny that you say that. I know that some of that was done by design. They had they were looking for a Western kind of Western color palette, apparently. And so some of it, they were doing that intentionally. But unlike so many of the Walking Dead episodes, I did not detect a problem seeing things because they were too dark. So for whatever reason, and I know that The Walking Dead is shot on, old school 16mm film, whereas Fear the Walking Dead is shot on digital. So they went that way when the show started. And pretty much everything these days is shot digitally. It's kind of rare for things to be shot on film. So that may have something to do with it. I don't know, but
I don't know. I think it had to do with when Walking Dead came out, Darabont insisted on doing it on 16mm. They just continued that. How they're getting this film and getting it developed, who knows? Mm-hmm. But with Fear, with this episode, they definitely used a lot of filters.
Yeah,
for the show and for when they did it when Althea was interviewing Morgan with the camera, and you saw that on the camera from the viewer, you saw that filter as well. Like it was an old VHS digital recorder or SVHS or whatever they used back then.
Or 8mm.
But I'd have to go back and watch it again because I kind of now think that I know they wanted to do a Western kind of feel with the show, or at least with this part of the season or whatever. But then, I did notice that, there was the whole camera interaction and how that was changed. But then it's like, it kind of was, maybe it was a little bit like they wanted to degrade just the saturation or whatever. And so that kind of gives it that feel of it being, I don't know, it'd be interesting to see if they continue that.
Yeah, I have a feeling that they will, although we'll see.
Cheryl Fox says, I'm having trouble believing that our main characters, Alicia, Nick, Luciana, and Strand, are that hard up. But that will remain to be determined next time.
Yep.
Well, I mean, a lot of it, I have heard them talk about the season that they're supposedly going to be, and if you consider this a spoiler, I never know what people consider a spoiler, but supposedly they're going to play with time. I think that's kind of obvious because we have some huge time jump and they have to explain things. So I don't think that's spoilery, but anyway, that I think they're going to have to explain how they got that way. And I mentioned that in the last, you know, Fear episode, where was Madison? They're going to have to explain where Madison is at this time, you know? And obviously, we think that Madison and Morgan meet up, although that could have just been interesting camera, you know, trickery. So I don't think we'll find out like Madison's dead or something.
Yeah, I know.
But
I guess we'll see. But yeah, if you have kind of been trying to follow up on it, there has been a lot of talk about, yeah, it's like they're going to play with different, like basically different parts of different groups or whatever, and the time frame is going to be a little kind of off. So we probably could have seen something that was basically in the future, and then next episode we'll go back to basically the start of it all, and then those two like storylines will eventually meet to the, you know, center to where they match up, and then both stories have been told and we'll get to that point. So I'm Pulp fine fiction. With that. I think that's interesting. Yeah.
I don't know. I think Gipple likes playing with time, and based on what we were talking about last night, the timeline. Mm. I ranted about the Walking Dead timeline, Kyle. You'll get a kick out of it when you hear it.
Okay.
All right. Well, let's get into our regular feedback.
We can talk about it.
Done talking. Time to listen.
All right. Well, I have not heard this yet. So we have a voicemail from Lara. Did you guys listen to this yet or no?
I have not been able to.
All right. We're going to listen to it cold. Here we go.
Hi, Brian and Mark. This is Lara calling in with my feedback for the premiere episode of season 4 of Fear the Walking Dead. Overall, I gave the episode a 9.6 out of 10 ugly mustards. And I would actually give it a higher rating, but I'm leaving it a little bit of elbow room for hopefully greater episodes during the season. My awesome sauce goes to the two new characters. John Dory, the gunslinger, I really loved. I love his pattern of speech. He has this weird kind of affect that takes a little bit of getting used to, but I kind of love the way he spoke, and he has this sort of sweet spot for such a tough cowboy of a guy with his little bittersweet romantic backstory. I just felt his loneliness, and it seemed so real. It seemed like, wow, what would it actually be like to not talk to another human for an entire year? I liked Althea. She was a badass right from the jump, but also very likable. And she's obviously very resourceful, because that souped-up SWAT van was cool as shit. I got a little bit excited when she pulled the lever and the guns came out. I was like, oh my God, this is what we need in the apocalypse. We've all sat around thinking about what kind of apocalyptic vehicle or weapon we would have in the ZA. And that is my pick for my transportation of choice through Zombieland. I really like that they have some new concepts and topics that we can talk about in the apocalypse rather than just this group fighting this group. That sense of loneliness and how to deal with that and how to deal with the dwindling numbers of humans in this world is pretty interesting. I liked that John had a little collection of books in his car, as well as Althea archiving stories on video for posterity. I think that's really cool, because there really should be someone keeping a record of everything that happened for anyone who ends up surviving hundreds of years down the line. I like the new tools that they're building for the apocalypse. A little bit Mad Max, but not in a cheesy, corny way. I thought that vehicle was totally realistic, and I want to buy it. Fear has really been good at depicting the desolation and loneliness of the apocalypse. Everything that when Morgan was traveling from east to west just looked completely dilapidated and destroyed and empty. I thought they did a really good job of making me feel like this was really the end of the world. And the funniest thing I thought was when everyone kept coming to Morgan's door and knocking on his door to come in. He just felt like the old man yelling at the kids to get off his damn lawn. And when Rick finally said, "You can hide, but you can't run," I imagined Morgan just internally in his head planning his escape route and saying, "Watch me, bitches." So, weak sauce. I thought our characters got the drop on them just one too many times. You know? The first couple times was fine, but the last ruse that they fell for was a little too predictable, but, you know, still enjoyed it. I could have done without the gimpalest, vague, mystical psychobabble that Jesus was giving off in the dialogue at the beginning. The somewhere else, in the same place, here's not here, you can't go, go but not go. I'm kind of really getting weary of that dialogue. I always liked that Fear had some actual people-sounding dialogue, things that actual people would say to each other. So I'm glad that that was a very short segment of the show, and I really hope that we aren't going to hear more of that in the future. And Morgan's morality roller coaster, I am hoping that this trip cross country is going to end him of that. You know, he's always swung back and forth from being extremely peaceful to extremely violent. And I kind of liked John Dory's philosophy of him saying, "I don't kill either, unless at least I try not to." That's where Morgan should be. He should at least try not to whenever he doesn't have to. Lastly, here's a few hopes for season four. I want lots of backstory to see our OGs again back on the show and find out what happened to them after that cliffhanger in season three. I'd like to make sure we have a lack of dialogue on behalf of Scott and Gimple, because I think it has been to the detriment of the main show. It's just gotten a little out of hand. Everybody started to talk like they're characters from another planet or something. And only using the walkers when necessary, because they did that in season three. They didn't have walkers on every single episode, or they used them very sparingly. And I liked that. I thought they only used it when the walkers were actually going to be impactful. And that way they were able to focus on the stories, but then bring in the walkers when it made most sense. Cool. Those are my thoughts. And I really like this episode and looking forward to season four.
Lara, as usual, awesome feedback. We must give you the showcase award because, you know, Kyle and I, we have a tradition, you know. I won't play the whole thing. It goes on and on and on. Yeah. But, and Lara is hopefully going to guest host with us for next week's episode.
Yay!
Yeah. And in fact, we were trying to figure out when she could come on. So, it looks like next week's going to work. So, you guys have any thoughts about what she had to say?
I loved all of it, and I agree with a lot of it. it's great, great feedback. That's
always good with her. So
yeah, she's always enthusiastic, and I love her views.
Yeah, yeah, and it's kind of funny because she has. We'll kind of explore this when we have her on. She's kind of. Turned a little sour on the main, you know, the parent show. So we'll maybe explore that when she's on. But I mean, I want one of those SWAT vehicles too. That's a perfect type of vehicle to have. And I really want to know how it can do kill shots. Magic bullets, man. And she didn't even have like any kind of scope or something. It looked like she had like some like hand crank or something, but
yeah, a lever, just had that with a button on it to shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to guide it, I guess.
Yeah, or that, or it's just like you just, it, yeah, she just grabs it, moves it side to side, and it, that turns the gun side to side. It just sprays.
Yeah, and pray you don't hit your friends.
Yeah, I know, which they apparently were fine. They got up and were like, that's
yeah,
special bullets.
You got to suspend your disbelief.
Magic. All righty. Well, let's move on. All right. Next we have Todd. He says, okay, so yeah, I really enjoyed this one as well. Love the actor who played John Dory from loads of other stuff. Seems like everyone has seen him except me. Great way to open the show with his monologue, his story. Curious how long it took Morgan to get out there. Wish we had a 6 months later title card or something. Also, are we in California or Mexico or somewhere in the middle? I really like the new character Althea and what her story is and what the 51 is all about. Another group or maybe one of those infection zones from season one. It really does look like our old team has been through some stuff by the time you meet up with them. And what was that Nick's? And was that Nick's Spanish girlfriend at the end with them? Because I think they were separated when we left off. Already, I'm excited for them to flesh out Dory's wife/girlfriend/partner story. The missing girl with the other gun, that looks promising. Great start to season four. Oh, and the Saviors Junior. I like that one. Are kind of interesting if they show backup, but not too exciting compared to the rest. Okay, I'm done now. okay, so they're in Texas, and I think that was clearly established. There was
a sign that like Morgan walked past.
Yeah, and, also they mentioned like from here to Tyler. That's also referring to Tyler, Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the gang from Fear that we know, obviously they were in, you know, they were, some of them were in Mexico, some of them were, you know, some were, we think, in California. We spent the whole damn season trying to figure out where that ranch was. but we figured out, I think, by the end that we thought it was like in the southeastern part of California, close to the border, but not into Arizona.
Yeah.
But we also, where they end up at is at the dam in Tijuana. And that's, I don't think it was called the actual dam that exists, but there's like an actual dam out there that it was played at. And I think it might have been Ramirez Dam or something like that. I don't know.
I can't remember the name of it. But
yeah, something like that. And if I got that wrong, I apologize. But yeah, so they ended the season. They were in Tijuana, and they've obviously made it to Texas. And we don't know how long a time has passed, but it's got to be a couple of years at least. Mm-hmm. Anything to help that timeline from our previous podcast and my rant.
Yeah, right.
I know. I'm like, I can't wait to hear it myself now. Cause, well, and like, yeah, like obviously I'm hoping that they do go back to show us, you know, what has happened up to this point.
Yeah.
It would be very good.
Yeah. And you know, it's worth saying that like, we know that he grew an eggplant, and it was something that Gimple said on Talking Dead about that. So I looked it up, and I guess it's like 18 to 24 weeks, I think. Although it wasn't really in the articles that I went to look it up, it wasn't really well stated, so I could have that wrong. But obviously, months. And, Rick had to say, you know, You know, you can hide, but you can't run. It's like, oh, hell yeah, I can run. I'll show you. Do you think he left a goodbye note?
Probably not.
Yeah.
They probably showed up back at the garbage heap and and found him, and somebody probably stayed there the whole day into the next day going, well, I guess he's not coming back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what it is. Morgan, you were supposed to stay. it just makes itself. All right. There was one other thing that he said that I was going to comment on. I'm just looking it up again.
I mean, the one thing about the flag, that's obviously going to be something that's going to be, I think, center to the season.
Yeah.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. And I am kind of curious for that. It reminded me of a few things like Area 51, but that's not in Texas.
It could be who knows what, but it's a sign of something organized.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody putting markers up.
Yeah.
And Todd, it's also worth saying that, yes, you were correct that was Luciana, Nick's girlfriend. Mm-hmm. And yes, she left the Broke Jaw Ranch at some point, and we didn't see her again. We saw her in the season finale, but that was more of a vision or dream or whatever the heck it was that Madison had. That was such a strange trip.
Yeah.
Where she had
dinner?
Nick's kid.
No, she had Thanksgiving dinner with
Otto's head. Yeah, and that was all the blood and all that good stuff. Yeah.
And Otto's head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was
quite good. I feel like all that, though, that gets washed away when the dam exploded, and now now we're anew.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should do that with the Prime show and just put Gregory's head on a table.
But I don't want Andrew Leakin to be having some weird, crazy dream where he's in a grave and climbing out, because that'll just take too long.
We don't need that.
And he'll have too much to talk about. Oh, that grave whatever.
I want to know, though, I want to know, obviously, somehow Nick and Luciana met up again. I don't know how that could have happened. It seems unlikely, unless one told the other where they were going to be, but we never got any indication of that.
Mm-mm. We did know she was leaving to go find a friend.
Mexicali.
Yeah. She
supposedly had friends in Mexicali, and that's where I thought that bazaar was. But I don't know. Maybe it wasn't in Mexicali, but.
Well, who knows? Maybe that's what we'll find out. Maybe they. we'll see. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that gets hinted at. Maybe we're going to get some of that story.
Yeah. And, we don't know. I see on Wikipedia, anyway, that Daniel is listed as a recurring. I mean, you can't take that for granted, but I really want to know what happened to Daniel. I hope he's not dead.
Yeah, same here.
Because I think Ruben Blades, he doesn't go by Blades. He goes by Blades. Mm-hmm. Ruben Blades is an amazing actor. I've always liked him and everything he has done. Multi-talented man, exceptionally talented man, politician, singer, actor. You can find politician actors, but there's not many that are singers and politicians.
Yeah, it's true. So
he's pretty amazing guy. Anyway, he's always good, and he's always been a gem on this show, and I really want to see him back, and I want to see him back like a lot. And I mentioned last week, and one of the pieces of feedback mentioned it too, that Jenna Elfman wasn't in the episode, and she wasn't in the credits either. So yeah. As far as I know, she's going to be in next week or this coming week. And I assume that she'll magically appear in the credits. And of course, Fear doesn't do like The Walking Dead does. So they can put the credits in with the episode. So it's probably not a big deal, but
yeah. Anyway. Maybe she's John Dory's long lost love with a gun.
I don't think her character's name is Laura.
I don't know. I didn't look into it. It was just a shot in the dark.
as long as Laura's not Hey Haircut, that's don't want to see that story somehow happen.
Yeah.
Although I do want to know how she got that barcode tattoo.
Yeah,
whatever that is. Tribal tattoo. I don't know, but okay. Sorry, wrong show.
Yes. Let's move on.
Kyle.
All right, Steve Brown. He says, I was totally and pleasingly surprised to see Jesus, Carol, and Rick at the beginning. I originally was going to give this a 6 because of the three Walking Dead characters at the beginning, and I don't want to give too high a rating before seeing other episodes. The extra point and a half comes from Maggie Grace, and a point for Alicia showing up right at the end. I only recognize her because I'm 4 episodes into my rewatch of Fear, and at least I think that was Alicia. I'm expecting to see how they are going to explain the time jump, or if they ever will explain it.
I think they better.
I think we have to expect that there's going to be some explanation.
Yeah. Because if they make a big jump like this and we see radical changes in their characters, they're going to have to explain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
they should do webisodes.
No, they need to do flashbacks. No one watches the webisodes until they're over something.
Yeah. Well,
I don't watch them.
Will Fear kind of start adopting like 90-minute episodes or.
Yeah, that would be actually nice if they did. So that way, at least the last half hour would be, what you've missed in the Fear of the Walking Dead. And I'll do a little flashback.
Yeah,
just to clear things up, you know. All right. So let's move on. Claire Redderer. Absolutely loved this the character of John Dory. He was so endearing and unexpected. Not at all how I thought he would be when I saw him in the previews. I was also surprised at how much I liked Althea. What an interesting idea to make her a journalist. Documenting all this would be so important. I so desperately want Morgan to be well, and it was frustrating to watch him run away from people from the beginning of the episode till the end. I hope it'll make it that much more worth it when he decides that he needs people. I thought it was good that he saw the man he was trying to help in the beginning with the injured leg as a walker. It made him realize that he needs people while he heals, both physically and mentally. I actually found myself missing the original characters, which surprised me. Really good action and good writing to boot. Very excited for the rest of the season of Fear of the Walking Dead.
So am I.
Yeah, excuse me. Obviously I wasn't available for the last episode or whatever with the roundtable, but John Dory, I seriously connected with right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that actor, but it was just I loved his character so much.
Yeah.
I had the same reaction, and it was almost instantaneous. I had a thought. Based on the things that I heard about him, that he was going to be a bad guy, and he's nothing, but he's like the opposite. I mean, his portrayal of that character was so unusual and really compelling. And I mm-hmm. just I found myself after I said this in the last episode, so I won't go into detail, but I want to see more of him. I want to see what else he's done. Because of that, that's a heck of a thing to say, that, you know, you don't get performances like that that make you want to go see everything else that somebody else has done. But I kind of had that feeling with him. Yeah. Doesn't mean I'm going to go back and watch everything he's done.
Right. Right.
I'm a little busy right now, but
yeah.
But the performance, and just like, you know, here's a new character, even regardless of you, I think if you knew his like previous work, this and that, it's just, it was just so endearing. Like, I just felt like, oh no, I want to help you be friends. Like, I don't know. It just immediately was like, that's my favorite right now.
Yeah. All right. PB and Zane's next. She says, I really liked this episode. I loved all the new characters, and Morgan fit right in. I wasn't even aware that Maggie Grace was supposed to be in it. The opening with John telling his story to the woods, but to Morgan in the end, was a great way to start. And running into the old group as an ending, great writing. If this keeps up, I may be a fan again. But I don't have any sauces for this. That's okay. You know,
totally fine.
There are plenty of sauces to go around. So, but yeah, PB and Zane or Judy has had issues with fear. And, you know, she didn't quite warm up to it like a lot of us did in season 3. She was still kind of lukewarm on it, but still watching. So, keep us surprised on how you feel about the show, although I think you'll be giving us feedback whenever you can. So, mm-hmm. All right, moving on.
All right, Mark Decote, he says, they kind of touched on the crossover timeline on Talking Dead. I'm not happy with the idea that Fear the Walking Dead is now caught up to The Walking Dead, but they're not really going to explain how or why. They better give us some backstory for our Fear the Walking Dead characters to fill in the gaps. New characters are fun, but I do call BS on Morgan and John not being hit by the barrage of bullets from the SWAT truck guns. At first, I thought they took cover behind the car, but then they popped up from beneath the Walker bodies. With enough bullets flying around that each and every Walker got at least one in the head, more BS. How the heck were Morgan and John not hit?
All right. Cheryl's next. She says, even though Morgan wants to be left alone to his own devices, I'm pretty sure he was okay with it after he got shot, even though at first he didn't want to admit it to himself. John Dory was talking up a storm because he had been alone for so long. He just wanted that companionship. Being alone has its merits, but Morgan has way too much compassion for people to be a hermit. On another podcast, someone suggested that maybe the Jenna Elfman character could possibly be the Laura that John Dory is looking for. Who knows? As long as it's not haircut. I thought maybe it was Luciana who could have changed her name. When John gave Morgan the socks, I thought that was the most thoughtful gift he could have given. And what is the finding with the pistol mate? It reminded me of Rick's Python. It really bothered Morgan that the person in the vehicle would not let him help. But how did the guy as a walker get out of the vehicle? Walkers are now opening car doors? Oh, geez. We're back on season 1 of...
Yeah. Morgan's wife.
Maybe he got out of the car first, but unlikely. Althea is going to be an interesting character. I like the thought of a journalist. I think that her getting bits and pieces of stories out of people will put things together in an interesting way. Maybe we can know more about those we like and do not like. Everyone has a story. Will Morgan give up more of his story than we know? When Morgan left Althea and John for the last time, John showed back up like a bad penny. Except that I don't think he's bad. There is something strange about him, but I don't think it's a dangerous characteristic. I did laugh when Morgan told Al that he didn't kill, and John chimed in, "Me either." Althea said something like, "It would have been nice to know that earlier." Things you could have told me yesterday. Wedding singer, by the way. Well, when is a good time to discuss killing or not? Mm-hmm. Wow. I think Nika would say any time is a good time to consider killing. Anyway, so one thing I was going to pull out of here that she said, I agree about the socks. I don't think, I'm trying to remember what Jenna Elfman's character is, but I know it's not Laura. Naomi, I think, is what her character's name is supposed to be.
Huh.
So, but we'll see. You never know. Mm-hmm. And she mentions that maybe it was Luciana, which I don't know. I don't see those two kind of working out, but anything's possible. Mm. I think it'll be interesting. And considering how she was brought in, we have to meet her. That can't be a red herring. But I am so wondering about that, and I was going to ask you, Kyle, in some of your notes from last night, you said something about he could be a psychopath.
Well, I mean, I kind of taken actually what and what Cheryl was saying. It's like, you know, when Morgan's like, you know, I don't kill, and John's like, he's like, me neither. And then he also does it unless I have to. So it's like, I don't know. Like he doesn't want to do any kind of harm. And the way he acts and kind of like, you know, like what we are seeing as his, I guess, his persona, like he does seem a little bit kind of, he's socially awkward, or maybe he's a little, in lack of a better term, like simple. I don't know if that's a good way to characterize it.
Simple with a vocabulary, though.
Yeah, but like, you know, like he obviously, we know that he hasn't talked in over a year. We don't know what his story is, but he seems very non-threatening. And then that also can also mean that you just don't know anything about him, and he could actually be like a really like crazy mofo, you know. And and then also playing on the terms of the actor DeLaunt, he's like, his, the characters that he's always played in all the different shows, you know, that he's been in, he's always been the villain. He's always been some kind of a friend, but ends up turning into a foe, and that's just what he's known for. So I don't know if this is going to be a completely 180, and we just, you know, you just, if you're reading into anything about his past, like work, to being like this character, you know, it's like he seems very non-threatening. He seems like he'd be like, he wants to help, you know, he doesn't want to hurt anybody and this and that, but he also may have never been pushed, you know, far enough to break. Maybe he's never had to deal with that because, you know, Texas is a huge place. You might not have, like, I think I mentioned something about like when Morgan was coming, you know, making his, you know, run deal, you know, I was kind of like, why is it at this point that there's still people that are just like by themselves, you know, like in the car, like the guy that he, you know, the guy that had the leg injury, tried to give him something. He's like, no, right. Go. You know, it's kind of like, I mean, I get where it's like, there's still big, this country's a huge. So of course there's going to be lots of space, and like, you might not run into people, or you're always running from people. So, you know, maybe he's a little bit, you know, out of touch with reality, and once something pushes him enough that breaks a trigger, or, you know, whatever breaks his psyche, that then he'll turn into being like basically a threat. So that's kind of where I was coming with the, he might be a psychopath. Maybe he is playing. We don't know.
I mean, it's always possible.
The ones that you least expect it are the ones that put a knife in your back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no, they're harmless. He's fine. And then there are the ones that slit your throat in the middle of the night.
Yeah. I mean, he could end up like the inverse of Troy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Troy, you know, was very much a character that you saw as a bad guy. And then as the season came on, he was, you know, kind of still a bad guy, but a very complicated guy.
Yeah.
And I wish we knew that whole Madison thing. That's the one regret. anyway, I just thought of that when I missed
this game. Well, and we've seen this kind of, maybe time and time again, or at least a kind of a hint of it. You know, it's like Father Gabriel, you know, they found him at a church. And what did he do when the going got rough? You know, he locked his congregation out and they all got eaten. You know, people do crazy things when they're pushed to it. So it's like, we don't know what his backstory is. Maybe this is him, how he copes. And so that's why he hasn't talked. Because as far as I'm concerned, he probably killed his girl that he is looking for.
I thought of that actually.
And that's just the way that he's rationalized it, that, oh no, he's still going to be, he's searching for her. No, you killed her because you're crazy. So, I mean, you know, I know it's just, there's so much there that we don't know. And so don't let your guard down is all.
Yeah. All right. We got one more.
Tilly Creary. I liked the episode, even though it didn't feel at all like the Walking Dead or Fear the Walking Dead episode. It was its own little thing, a Morgan on the Road tour. It was good, just different. I'm looking forward to this new Fear the Walking Dead journey we're all on. I'm looking forward to the show filling in all the holes of what was and has been going on with the original crew all these years.
All right. We also said we would cover some feedback about Survival Sunday. Mark and I talked about it on the last Fear the Walking Dead talk through that we recorded last night, and our experiences where I didn't really like it too much because of annoying people. And the screen not being terribly, I don't know if I said that, but the screen I found wasn't real clear. So I was expecting a better like image than I got.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I talked about that, but.
You did. I was far back in the theater and I said I needed glasses too because the herd seemed so distant. Yeah.
I was in the back row, but it wasn't a huge theater.
Oh.
Okay. So Claire Redderer, she says about her experience, she says, I took my 18-year-old son and 15-year-old daughter, and we had a blast. I thought the theater would be packed, but it was only half full. So that was a little disappointing. It was really fun seeing my favorite show and my favorite characters on the big screen. No commercials was a bonus, too. I'm not sure I would do this again because it was a little pricing for something I can get free from the comfort of my own home, but it was definitely worth doing once. And I think that is a thing of perspective because I heard someone, I think it was on Walking Dead cast, talking about their experience and to them, going to a theater, you know, to only pay $10 or whatever, that was cheap, right?
Yeah.
So to them, and it seemed like in their case, they had a lot of people that were you know, into it, and you know, like I was saying last night, I had people that left when Fear came on, which I just couldn't, I wanted to shake people.
Yeah, same here. I 30 people out of like the whatever, maybe 200 to 300 people that were in the places where I was, they left too as soon as Fear came on.
Now, but it's worth saying, I was thinking about this after we recorded, and there were multiple theaters that were showing Survival Sunday, and you know, I bought my tickets late, so you know, it was basically day of, and I wonder if they had, you know, maybe sold one theater or two and then decided to, you know, open it up to another theater. And maybe the ones that had bought their tickets right away, they may have been a different class of fan than the ones that, you know, bought late. I don't know. And I say that because at least where I went, it was reserved seating. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I didn't have reserved seating. It was pretty much come in, sit wherever you want. But it was a decent sized theater though, where they had it.
I mean, the chain or the movie theater, you know, complex I went to is like a 16 screen, and it is a pretty big theater with IMAX and all of that stuff. So it's not like a rinky dink theater, but it was a smaller screen in there. So I don't know. All right. So that's it. Now we're going to go into news, ratings, and info, and we play this, which we haven't played in a long time.
What the hell is happening?
I have no idea.
Cliff Curtis. He just fell out of a helicopter. All right. I guess a year ago he fell out of a helicopter. Anyway, I can actually say, and this is a long time that I could say something like this, but ratings are significantly up. So I would say, at least for the first episode, the crossover definitely worked. People were curious and they stayed on. Let's do some comparisons, shall we? So Fear the Walking Dead got a 1.63 in the 18-49 with 4.09 million viewers. Now, obviously that's down quite a bit from the Walking Dead finale, which got like 7.9 million and I think 3.41, but that's still a pretty good rating, and I think it was the second highest rated non-sporting event on cable. That's pretty good. And it, as far as comparing it to ratings from the show, it was the best since, and depending on what you're looking at, season 2, episode 7, and season 2, episode 8. It got the best... the best number of viewers since season 2, episode 7. Season 2, episode 8, it's best since in the 18-49. I didn't say that very well, but it doesn't matter. But to compare it to, like, for example, the season premiere from last season, I don't really understand this. I was looking back, and for some reason, episodes 1 and 2 got separate ratings, but on the finales, they got one rating. So I don't really get it. But for season 3, the premiere, it got a 1.18 and 3.109 million. So that's like... That's quite a bit higher from the previous season, so that's pretty good. The episode 2, it got 1.04 and 2.698 million, but it's even more startling if you look at the season finale from Fear, which got a 0.80 and 2.230 million. So, I mean, that's up in the 18 to 49, that rating, that's double, more than double. And the viewers are almost double. So again, it's a pretty impressive thing. And I want to see, hoping ratings are still up for episode two, and it keeps on that, you know, trajectory. So all in all, I would say, as far as the ratings are concerned, very positive.
I think that you remember how last season, how, you know, we obviously covered the show, and it was like, it was very enthralling and it was really good. And there's a lot of good things. But the one thing I noticed was, like, when it got towards the end and even after it, oh my gosh, how much press did they get? Like, every blog that I've seen or follow or whatever, it was just like, oh my gosh, you know, Fear the Walking Dead. Oh, this season was amazing. Oh, like, everything was like positive. So I think some of that is rubbing off. And then also, I think so far the season's started good. So I think we see some improvements.
that's a good point. And that's kind of what happened. I think people were, you know, actually quite surprised that how good it was. And it didn't, I looked at the Rotten Tomatoes and Metacritic, and they weren't quite as high up as you would have expected. But usually when they take a look at that, they're just looking at the first episode or something. So, and I haven't looked to see. I'm going to take a look at that. Why not?
Are you trying to look up, like, what, last season? Or
no, No. I'm looking at, well, it's got an average tomato meter of 82%, and I know that's higher, where the audience score is only 59%, but that's of the series in general.
Okay.
But in looking at the ratings for the first episode, 100% it got. So that's amazing.
Good.
The average rating of it was 8.97 out of 10. 13 reviews, all fresh, zero rotten.
It's good. It makes me question too. It's just like, as much as I love The Walking Dead and love, you know, like what I've have read in the comics, this and that, there was a bit of fatigue to just like, gosh, I'm kind of tired of this. I need something new. Like, and I think I even put it in my comics, like, I need a palate cleanser. You know, this has nothing to do with anything that's ever been written. There's no guidebook. It's just, it's the universe, and like, it is the writers, and these are new showrunners, and so I don't know. I'm expecting big things for this season, so I'm hoping it lives to it.
Me too. And I think it's worth saying too that you know, I said it, I don't know how many times on the podcast, that Walking Dead, the parent show, falls into this thing where the characters act out of character to service the plot. And but what I have seen, especially in season three and now in season four, the characters are acting in character and the story is evolving around them. Like, it is Morgan in character trying to be alone. That's just him. Mm-hmm. So his actions in this episode were Morgan. Mm-hmm. And the story was built around Morgan. The story of, you know, we don't really know John at this point, but it seemed like the story of him. He's lonely. He wants to, you know, be friends, and that motivates him. Althea wants your story. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm really intrigued on, you know, the stories that she's gotten, and I want to hear some of those. Mm-hmm. And I want to hear her own story and how she got that SWAT vehicle and how.
Yeah, like, yeah, just like, you know.
There's so much there.
Yeah. That, which could be, that's what hopefully we get to see it because it's.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that and we hope as fans of the show that we want to see is for the characters that we know in this show to be at the point where they were, robbers on
the side of the
road. Where they there's a term for that. I'm trying to think of what it is. But basically, bandits. Mm-hmm. How'd they get there? And I hope I find out what that story is, because that's going to be interesting to find out as well. Mm-hmm. And I hope to see some of it. Don't have to see all of it, mm-hmm. but.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Yeah. All right. So we've got ways to submit feedback. So, Mark, I'm going to recruit you to say it this time.
All right. To submit your theories and feedback, go to goldenspiralmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio, or use the SpeakPipe widget, which records your voice and sends it to us, or call 304-837-2278. Or, like most people, post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, which is under www.facebook.com/groups/walkingdeadgsm. The deadline for submitting feedback next week is Monday, April 23rd at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central.
Yeah, so it's back a day, but you get an extra hour. So it's like fall back.
Daylight saving time for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, don't forget to reach us on Twitter as well at Walking Dead GSM. And of course, we call it Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through right now, but we're the Walking Dead Talk Through. We're just schizophrenic when it comes to our numbering and naming convention. but you can find us, if you use Apple Podcasts or, iTunes on your computer. You can go to goldenspiralmedia.com/apple to find all of the podcasts that are in the network. But you can really help us out if you like us to subscribe. Believe it or not, in Apple's little routines, the number of subscribers has a big play in how high you rank in the listings. So you can also help us by giving us a rating or review. Wherever you are. And I get a little report every week, tells me all the new reviews that come in. I don't get the ones for ratings, but I do get the ones for reviews. And, if you haven't been listening to us on the Walking Dead Talk Through, a few weeks back, I lost my job. So things are still, I'm still without job. But we're trying to do our best, but we could use a little bit of help because we are holding down two properties right now. So we have to get one sold. So things a little tight. This is not a great time to be out of a job. So if you could help me out, go to GoFundMe.com. And I'm using an old campaign where I wanted to get some money to buy a new hard drive. I just kept the campaign and repurposed it. So it's GoFundMe.com/TWDTTBrianHardDrive. You can support the network many different ways. Go to GoldenSpiralMedia.com/support. So the next episode is season 4, episode 2. Titled Another Day in the Diamond, and that is written by co-showrunners, executive producers, Andrew Chambliss and Ian B. Goldberg. Directed by co-exec producer Michael E. Satrazimus. And the description is, a troubled survivor finds allies in an unexpected place. The life Madison has fought to build comes under threat. Of course, I'm going to play the shock horror theme. Of course.
Of course. Must.
And scheduled to appear with us is Lara Willie-Swink. And just so you know, just so we get this, so Kyle and I are co-hosting, you know, the Fear of the Walking Dead talk through. We are going to we're going to have Mark, whenever he can come, as a special guest host, co-host. Because we, on our network, we can only have two hosts. I don't know why. But essentially, Mark is welcome to come whenever he can, and hopefully he'll come all the time. So
I like to play in a sandbox.
Yeah. Until next time, I'm Brian.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Kyle.
And this is Fear the Walking Dead Talk Through. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.